chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. After Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias, a large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain, sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near, and when he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where do we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. And then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up. And from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who has come into this world." When Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountains by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." Then they went to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the land towards which they were going. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you,
O
Christ.
I invite you to be seated. Well, throughout this summer, we've been hearing about some of the prophets from Hebrew Scriptures. Ezekiel, Amos, Jeremiah, and each has had a specific call, often to correct the people of Israel when they wander from their calling to follow God alone, when they worship other gods, when they ignore the plight of the weakest among them. This week, we hear something of the story of the prophet Elisha. Now, he's closely linked to Elijah, who we will hear about in a few weeks, because Elisha was Elijah's chosen successor. While Elisha, too, is focused on proclaiming the word of God among the Israelites, most of the stories about Elisha seem to be focused on miracles that he performed as a means to authenticate that he really does speak for God. And in this chapter that we heard, chapter 4, there are 5 of these miracles. Each comes out of the context of a time of famine and scarcity. And they show God providing for God's people. The first miracle is for a widow who cannot pay her debts, and so is threatened with having her 2 sons enslaved to pay the debt. So Elisha, when she comes to him, provides a means for her in her scarcity to gain enough to pay off the debt. The second miracle concerns Elisha's prophecy that a childless couple shall conceive and have a child. The third depicts the revival of that child after an illness and death. The fourth miracle is one in which Elisha successfully detoxifies a pot of stew that had been rendered poisonous for his group of prophets. He had to do this because there was not enough food for them to dump it out and start over again. And finally, we hear about the fifth miracle today. It's about Elisha's ability to feed 100 people with, like the story from John, what doesn't seem like enough. But as God says through the prophet Elisha, they let them eat, and they shall have some left. And they do. We're not always good about discerning when things are truly scarce and when they aren't, are we? Anybody remember the toilet paper days? Yeah? The fears early on last year that there would not be enough. I felt it. I'm sure many of you did. So, let's be honest with one another. How many of us have any leftover hand sanitizer from that first batch almost a year plus ago? Yep, we do here at the church, and I know personally we do. Okay, here's another question. Anybody have leftover toilet paper from a year ago? Okay, we got a few. Look, there are a lot of reasons for that kind of reaction. Most of them are more psychological than they are practical. We tend to believe that there will not be enough. We live with an understanding of scarcity. I've seen it time and time again growing up in hurricane-prone country in the southeast, where hoarding of resources around the time of a hurricane meant that some had more than they could use and some didn't have any at all. But if they had just taken what they needed, everybody would have had enough. Jesus points out in the Gospels that evil intentions come from within, from the human heart, from our own desires, our own fears, and they drive us to look first to ourselves, our family, our tribe, and disregard the needs of others, ignore their humanity. The very relationship into which God calls us and created us to be in with them. The story from 2 Kings and our gospel reading from John both have an incredible number of people being fed by what seems to be not enough. 5 loaves, 2 fish. 20 loaves of barley, fresh ears of grain. And yet when they are shared, there is more than enough, and some left over. So why is that? Now, there might very well have been some kind of miraculous, mysterious multiplication of the loaves, a replication of the very fabric of their substance that created more. God can do that. But it strikes me that the greater miracle would be that in that sharing of that little bit, God transformed the hearts of those who were present and unwilling to share with one another. That when they saw the example set by the young boy or by Elisha, the Holy Spirit moved in them to share what little they had, which led the next person to share what little they had, and the next one, and the next one, and the next one. And as each shared their little bit, it added up to enough to fill everyone, and then some. It's amazing what God can do with our little bit, isn't it? Whether that's a financial offering, our talents, our time. What God calls us to do is share these little bits and trust that God will make of them an abundance greater than the whole of the sum of the parts. It's kind of like the European folk story of stone soup. You may have heard it, or a version of it. Once upon a time, there was a great war, and the people in this small village were afraid that their families would go hungry. And so they hid the small amounts of extra food that they had, even from one another. One day a wanderer came into the village, asked about a place to lay his head, maybe somewhere that he could get something to eat, asked several people, but they said to him, nope. There's not a bite to eat in the whole country. Best that you move on. Well, the man thought about it for a minute. Then he kind of nodded his head and he said, "Oh no, I have everything I need." He said, "In fact, I'd like to make some stone soup to share with you all." And so he went to his wagon and he pulled out a big, huge iron pot, filled it with water, built a fire under it. Then he dug into his pack and he pulled out of it this beautiful sack, opened it up, reached in and pulled out a smooth, round stone, which he placed into the water. When he was asked about it, he told him, "Well, I'm using that to make stone soup. It's the best soup you've ever had." Well, by now, hearing about this magic stone, the whole village had gathered around. And as he sniffed the stone soup, he licked his lips, and the villagers began to overcome their lack of trust in him. He said, "You know, I do like a tasty stone soup, but of course stone soup with cabbage is better." One of the women gathered around and went, "I have something." And she ran to her house and came back with a head of cabbage and said to him, "I have this cabbage from my garden." "Oh yes," he said, "that's perfect." And chopped it up and put it in. And then he said, "You know, I once had stone soup with cabbage and just a little bit of beef. Oh gosh, that was delicious." Someone else said, "I have some beef scraps." And they ran back to their house and they grabbed the scraps and brought it. Soon, other villagers began to offer bits of vegetables of their own: potatoes, onions, celery, carrots. And soon the big black pot was burbling and steaming in the soup. When it was ready, everyone ate a bowl and were filled, and there were leftovers. The villagers offered the man money and other treasures for his magic stone, but he refused them. He did accept the offer of a cot to sleep on that night. And the next day, as he traveled away, he saw a group of children playing, and he went over and he took out the cloth sack and he handed it to the youngest child, and he whispered to them, "It was not the stone which performed the magic. It was all of us together." When we as the church have the courage to share our little bit, this is when God does amazing things. When we can become a sign of the reign of God on earth. Our friends at Hope Lutheran Church in Cedar Rapids, small church struggling to stay afloat financially, began offering daily meals during the aftermath of the derecho, because people were hungry and they had a little bit that they could offer. And the pastor told me how many people came to him and said how grateful they were to know they had even just that one simple meal: hot dogs, chips, some rabbit food to eat. How they began to get donations from people out of the blue so that they could continue to serve those meals. How volunteers just kept showing up to help make sure that it happened. We had 36 plus people this past week throw their little bit into the pot that made our VBS. A little bit of time, a little bit of knowledge, a little bit of talent, a little bit of money. And together, we proclaim the good news of God and Jesus Christ to 50-plus children in our community. The promise of God is that there is always enough, and more than enough, for everyone to have what they need. And also, that the little bit that we have, when offered up, God can do amazing things with that. See, God works on both sides of the coin. If you have a bit to share and you share it, it will do incredible things. It will provide enough. And if you need something, God will supply enough for you. And the only way that happens is through community. When we stick together, when we share with those who don't have enough, and suddenly When we do that, there is enough. And more than enough. What are the ways we as a church, as St. John, can help make sure that the poorest in our community, those who are trying hard but just can't catch a break, have enough? Enough so that a broken down car won't send the whole house of cards tumbling. Enough so that a medical bill won't ruin them. Enough so they can eat healthy food. So that they have a roof over their heads. So that they have the means to work and earn a living, don't have to worry about their kids. How are we equipped and called by God to share our little bit as a community? To be generous with what God has first given us to be stewards of, ourselves, our time, our possessions, so that others may have what they need. The God we worship is always taking a little bit and making of it enough and more than enough. We see that in this meal before us today. A little bit of bread, a sip of wine, and there will be leftovers. Feed us, O Lord, with the very body and blood of Jesus Christ, your Son, who came to open our eyes to the abundance we have, who died and rose again to free us from all that binds us, including the fear that there is not enough. It's a lie. Maybe the greatest deception the deceiver can tell us. And so I invite you to come today to this table to receive just a little bit of bread, a touch of wine, and be freed to go into this world and share your little bits. And see what amazing things God will do with it. Thanks be to God. I invite us to stand as we sing our celebration of what God has given us.